Hey, God bless you guys. As always, here on a Thursday night, we got the man of God, Elder Kerry Williams, coming out of Saginaw, Michigan. He's ready to make his arrival into the studio. Just going to tell you about a few things that we're doing here at HNLC concerning the work. Taking place here at Harvest New Life Church. Let you guys know I'm actually loved. It's coming in prayer, demonstration of your spirit. Man of God, Kurt Denny out of, matter of fact, Ohio. Take that back. He's coming out of Miami. By way of the Bronx, New York. We're going to have a mix of the tonight, as well as with us on Tuesday night. On this coming Tuesday, we're going to have the man of God, what is on the Kerry Williams, Father Kurt Denny, and the whole beautiful wife, Pastor Patty Ellis. Ministers to come in and be a part of the show. We want you guys to know to keep you in tune with God's voice for each and every as we continue to move forward and do what God has called us to do. You know, last week, we talked about some things that we're moving forward as far as getting the alliance together. The man of God, Dr. Albright, has been putting some things together really feverishly for those of you who want to get more educated in the Word of God and how you should run your ministries and how you should bring the Word to they'll be transferred and changed into a new process of what Christ has said according to 2 Corinthians 5:17. He said, that the man of Christ is a new creature. All old things has passed away. All things have come new. Would you guys also be with us tomorrow night? We're going to have a man and woman God coming out of Canada. That's going to be Elizabeth and Alan. Man of God's bring forth the word of God. We're here for a while. We're going to be spending that word of God as they continue to go forth. We want to let you guys know, hey, look, we got some things that's always going to here exciting at HLC as well as now Monday night service takes place here. We've got a service that's taking place here at HLC. It's a new service. We're going to introduce to you guys and let you guys know some of the things that we're going to have to push that particular broadcast ahead also. But it's going to be coming off our Podbean station. Of course, we go to Tuesday, we go to my Tuesday testimony. We go on the Wednesday and have Prophet Kurt Denny coming in, as I said, out of the Bronx, New York. He's going to be coming from the kingdom of God. And also, on Thursday, it's just right now, we got the man, Elder Kerry Williams. He's coming out of Saginaw, Michigan. Always bring the great word that's coming from the kingdom of God. Of course, Friday, we got the man, about Apostle Oscar Walker, coming out of Sabbath Tabernacle Church there in Houston, Texas. Saturday morning, we roll right back into the cutting end. Guess what? It's called Psalm Report. They take place every morning at 10:30 p.m. Central Standard Time right here at HNLC International. But look, guys, let's get ourselves in position to hear what the Word of God is going to be speaking on this particular evening as we make ourselves appeal, open up and have an appeal. It's coming from the man of God, Elder Kerry Williams. He started off speaking about some things over in the book of Acts on last week. And we was talking about that, but I think he's going to move in some more things as we look into the scripture here. Before we get started, I want to make sure I get on cue with him. We're going to do some prayer in here in a minute, and we're going to go back over to the book of Acts chapter 4, which I know he's going to be starting out of Acts chapter 4 and waiting on him coming into the studio. But, you know, the Word of God decrees, and what we talked about here, that the Word came forth through the Spirit. And a process of the things that took place in Acts chapter 4, these people were upset about what they were preaching because, as we said before, they diametrically opposed the Word of God to the point that they didn't want this Word being preached to them. They didn't want to hear anything about Jesus Christ. And all those who ran the temples, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the Sanhedrins, pretty much ran all the temples, and they had their people in place. But the thing about it, when they began to preach the Word and minister the Word of God, they came in with such extraordinary demonstration through the power of the Holy Ghost that they couldn't deny the fact that most of the people began to listen about what these men were saying. These were just ordinary men who actually believed. They wasn't a part of any kind of group or organization, but they just heard the Word of God. And as they heard the Word of God, they began to believe the extraordinary sound of the power of the Holy Spirit that came from these men of God's mouth, Peter and John, as they began to go. And we know that you look on down here in this particular verse, it talks about how they begin to lay hands on them and put them in prison. So, Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we declare the word as it come forth today. We open up the illumination by the power of the presence of the Holy Spirit. as we wait the man of God to come in and be a part of the show on this particular afternoon here at HNLC. We thank you for giving us the illumination, the revelation, the dedication to continue to go forth in spite of what we hear opposite. Knowing through you, Father God, that everything and all things are already made possible through the Spirit. You said to him that believe it, all things are possible. Father, we thank you this time, this moment, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, as we move forth and hear just what you have to say that is and is always coming from the kingdom of God. As I said before, we're waiting on the man of God to come into the studio. We're going to go ahead and proceed on that particular word that we were looking at as he was. He's going to be actually going into that word as we take our time and begin to talk about the process of how this particular word came forth with such demonstration and power that it was undeniable to those who actually ran the temple, that particular temple maintenance, all the things that was going on, those who governed the temple, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the Sanhedrins, these people that's actually of that particular area, of that particular region. And then Peter and John coming in with total authority through the Holy Ghost, ran and declared and decreed that they actually spoke the word to the people of mesmerization and healing and demonstration. And the Bible declared these people were upset. These temple rulers, they pretty much ran the temples, these particular Sanhedrin, these Pharisees, they ran the temple. And one thing we know for a fact, according to scripture, they did not like, they didn't want to hear anything about Jesus Christ. They believed that he was the true Messiah, and them not believing the true Messiah, they believed they didn't have to believe anything he said. And when they began to lay hands on them and put them in prison, they being grieved about the word that came forth, about resurrection from the dead, and the Bible said they get closed down to the point that they try to shut the word down. But it's amazing when you think about this area of scripture. As we go on down here later in the scripture, it says, and they laid hands on them, and said they put them in holding the next day. But the main thing I look at the scripture about, you know, even though when things coming against you, it don't seem like people think you got what it take to move forward, the Holy Spirit is yet always making room for his word. It says in the fourth verse, how be it that many of them which heard the word, now they believed. You know, the word of God talks in Mark 9:23. It says that faith coming by hearing. And it says the hearing come by the word of God. And by the hearing the word of God and declaring, decreeing, they believed through the signs, wonders, and miracles that were taking place as they ministered the word. They knew it couldn't be nothing but a God. See, the Pharisees had words and maybe had speech to the point that it made them feel good about what they was telling them. But God, in the midst of the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit, the Bible says he would actually bring things to the point that he'll call the foolish to bring forth such a word that the people won't even understand that what is going on. Matter of fact, he talks about that in the area of 1 Corinthians. So we go a chance to look on 1 Corinthians as we continue to wait this great man of God that's coming in here, Elder Kerry Williams. Go to 1 Corinthians. I want to make sure we are listening to what we're going to speak, what we're talking about here in the book of 1 Corinthians. We'll go to 1 Corinthians. Just want to kind of click over here with you guys. Got my screen in front of me here, so I'm going to be doing a little PowerPoint here before he comes in. And it says over in the area of the book of 1 Corinthians in that 27th verse. And notice, but we go back to the book of Acts. Remember, they put hands on these men of God because they really didn't believe that what they were preaching was true to their belief in terms of what they had learned from the Mosaic, from the Moses' law, you know, about the Mosaic law. And we talk about how they began to actually take the Mosaic law and begin to change it as it went forth. They began to add things in it, and they put it down to suit their appetite. Like we hear sometimes now, we hear the word of God comes forth. You know, some people are like, I'm just paraphrasing. Well, we don't want it too much. No, Christ doesn't paraphrase. He makes sure that when he brings you the word through the Holy Spirit, it's going to come direct, and it's going to be just what he said. He's not going to paraphrase anything. That's a flesh. When he begins to move the way it wants to move, rather than what God wanted to move and the way it's designed to move. Now, we think about this particular area, this particular scripture over here. It says over here in the book of 1 Corinthians, in that particular area of that I want to make sure we get here to 1 Corinthians. We're going to look at here, and we're going to go down to the 27th verse, how God looked at these people in terms of their hearing and believing and declaring. He illuminated them. And when they illuminated them, the Bible said, according to Acts chapter 4, in that particular fourth verse, he said that many of the people heard the word. And saying the word came to be about 5,000. Amazing. Think about this. You got a city of men who diametrically opposes the true unadulterated word of God, because they've now been burned in the heart by the power and the presence and the illumination of the Holy Ghost. So now as they begin burned, they realize through the signs, one is the miracles, these men begin to preach. As they preach, they gave demonstration about what it was that they were doing. And the Bible declared that it came to be about 5,000. But even though these men in the eyes of these particular people, these Pharisees, these Sadducees, these Sanhedrin councilmen, they didn't feel that they was capable of actually receiving such demonstration and power, to the point that when you look at how we think about how men look at you, if you don't have the type of education, you don't have the type of racial color or whatever, in bloodline, whatever it may be, lineage or what you come from, men will always trigger you the wrong way other than what God declared and called you to be. The Bible speaks a word over here in the book of 1 Corinthians in the 27th particular verse. It says, but God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. The Bible says, according to verse 27, in the base things of the world. That means just the mediocre things. They don't even look like it's got the ability. You know, somebody look at you, they don't see the education you have from the physical standpoint of view. You don't got degrees on the wall. You don't have these great monuments or structures of rocks and mortar. You don't have a name that's populated in everybody. But he talks about over here in the 28th verse of 1 Corinthians 1 and 28. He said, but the base things, just the normal things of the world, the things which are despised, has God chosen. That means to come to humility. You know, Galatians talk about, you don't have to think of yourself as being more high than you ought to think. The Bible said, in all things which are not to bring to nigh the things which are. The Bible said that the flesh should glorify in the presence of God. And this is an amazing word. We talk about how the flesh should glorify in the presence of God. Because Paul spoke a powerful word to the people of Thessalonica. He began to speak a powerful word to them in demonstration of the wisdom of God. And the Bible says, according to this word over here in the area of the book of Thessalonica, and we're still looking at Acts chapter 4, and we pick, we want to turn over here to the area of Thessalonians. In the area of chapter 1, we're going to look at that closely here, and just comparing how the power of God moves in such authority and such demonstration, and the wisdom of man can't even comprehend that what God has put through a person who looks like they got what it takes to get an overflow from the kingdom of God. The Bible declares, decrees in the second verse here, it was first Thessalonians, and we look at the second verse, and we have gave thanks to God always for you, and making mention of us in your prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith. Notice what he's saying. They're remembering, not ceasing, your work of faith. So he's getting gratitude and upbringing to the people of Thessalonica about how he really desired and declared that the work that they're doing, he's pleased by it. The Bible says, in the labor of love and patience, hope in our love, Jesus Christ, in the sight of God and the Father, knowing, brethren, beloved, the election. Notice you got to make your word of election. Election of Christ. The election of God. For our gospel came unto you. Look what he said. He said, our gospel came to you. He said, not unto you in words only, but in power and of the Holy Spirit, of the Holy Ghost, and much assurance. Come on, somebody. As you know, what manner of men we're among you as your sake. And it goes in the sixth verse here. And it became, and ye became fellow followers of us. And the Lord, having received the word with much affliction, with joy and of the Holy Ghost. The Bible says, so that ye may were examples of all believers in Macedonia and Asia. I believe that's Asia, A-C-H-A-I-A, Asia. And the Bible said, from this we are surrounded about the word of the Lord only in Macedonia and Asia, but also in every place where the faith of God's word is spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything. My demonstration to parents alone, just by the power of the Holy Ghost, let me know just what is going on in my life and what God has called me to be in the season in which I'm in. It's amazing when we look at this particular story. Paul said, I don't need no demonstration. I don't need no witnesses to do this work. But I declare by the word of God and what you put in me, that there be no weapon formed in the midst of the work that God has called me to do in the season that I am, So we got to believe and declare and decree as we go forth. We're going to look at something here. We're going to look at something here. And we're going to just kind of turn over here to something here. Hold on a second here. I'm going to look at something. I'm going to go back to the book of Acts chapter 4. Let me see. Okay, let me see something here. I'm going to go back over to this particular fourth verse. I want to just kind of scout something out in the fourth verse that man of God was talking about here. Okay, yeah, here it is. Let's go to Acts chapter 4. Let's go back down to the 30th verse. By stretching forth thy hand to heal, and the signs and wonders may be done in the name of the holy child Jesus. The Bible says over here in this area, we look at this over here in the area of the 31st verse, and where they had prayed, the place was shaken. And when they had assembled together, now I want to make sure I'm getting this understanding this as you as well. The Bible says when they had prayed, the place was shaken. That's the demonstration of the power coming in. That's the fear and trembling. That when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you can't deny the fact that it's moving in the Holy Ghost. And that's why the word God, Jeremiah talking about, it's like fire set up in my bones. He wasn't able to set still because the power and demonstration through them, he was shaken with great power of understanding and wisdom and direction, that what he's about to speak now is the same things Paul spoke over here in the book of Thessalonians to the Thessalonians about how he came and he need no witnessing about what the authority and the power of God was doing in and through his life. The Bible says, once again, the 31st verse over in the book of 1 Corinthians, Acts chapter 4, and that 31st verse, he said, when they had prayed in one place, was shaken. But they had assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And they spoke the word of God with boldness. That means the authority and the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit was in position and designed to do whatever it was designed to do through the mouth of the man of God, who is now a representation of the kingdom of God and the work he designed through them, not through the flesh, but as they've been taken over by the Holy Spirit, God illuminated and made them aware that now it's not only them speaking, but through the Holy Spirit, that the power of God is illuminating and speaking through them in their hearts and minds, that they may know and understand. And that season and that work that's taking place was not of his own hands, but it's through the power of the presence of the Holy Spirit. The word of God declares the creed. And declaring the creed in this particular verse, and it talked about the process of and the multitude of them believed, but one of the heart and one soul, neither said any of them that all the things of which they had possessed was his own, but they had all things in common. When you're walking in the presence of the power of the Holy Spirit, you don't have to worry about things not being on accord where you want it to be, because now God is moving. And when he begins to move, he does things through his demonstration and his power, his grace that you may know. And the work that he's doing through you is all him and not of you. Going to actually get ourselves in position here. The man of God, we're hoping to get him on here in a minute. His time is moving. But as the word of God comes forth, we're going to declare and decree that in the midst of what we're speaking, that God is doing a new thing in the season. And when it, give me a few minutes here, I'm going to kind of let the music kind of push on here a little bit. And we're going to wait for this man of God to come in, okay? hope you guys enjoyed the small study that I had from the time I was able with you guys. But with the man of God, he was going to give him some extra minutes on what he's doing. So we're going to push over the limit. So the little study that we were doing, hey, look, now we got the man of God, Elder Kerry Williams, about to take it in his hands. And we're going to hear what the word of God is speaking. It's coming from the kingdom of God. Elder Williams.
We welcome you tonight, amen, and we apologize for the lateness, amen. Apparently, there was some technical difficulty on this end, but nonetheless, God has worked it out, and we are moving forward, amen.
Amen.
We just want to touch and finish up just a couple of comments. What we were talking about last week in the book of Acts, we're going to move on. We're going to start something new tonight, but really quickly, in the book of Acts, the 16th chapter, verse 16 through, verses 16 through 19, Luke gives us an encounter concerning a young lady who followed them around a little place called Neapolis. And I'm sorry, not Neapolis, Philippi. But listen, this speaks directly to something that we see a lot of evidence of today when it comes to the modern church, the physical church. And I'd just like to tell you very quickly, preface this by saying that we've got to understand that this is why it's more important than ever that we do all that we can to develop our faith. The Bible says that we grow from faith to faith and from glory to glory. And we've got to understand that it's not only our duty, it's our responsibility, and it's also to our betterment. But I'm going to read a couple of scriptures, and we're going to go from there, and then we're going to move on. Now, Acts 16 and 16 says, "Now it happened as we went to prayer that a certain slave girl possessed with a spirit of divination met us, who brought her masters much profit by fortune telling." That is, wow. That says a lot right there. That's actually a whole nother message. "This girl followed Paul and us and cried out saying, 'These men are the servants of the Most High God who proclaim to us the way of salvation.' And this she did for many days. But Paul, greatly annoyed, turned and said to the Spirit," not to her, but to the Spirit, "'I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her.' And he came out that very hour." Now, I've got a footnote in my Bible when it comes to this. And I want y'all to hear this and what it says. Let me find it real quick. It says, where did it go? I'm sorry. I lost my note, my place. But what it says is that the spirit of the young lady, the girl had a spirit of divination. It says, Satan, the Lord rebuke you. It says the demon, the girl had, the slave girl had a spirit of divination, or literally a spirit, a python, characterizing her as one inspired by Apollo, the god worshipped at Pytho or Delphi. The demon in the girl, in the slave girl, spoke the truth. Now listen, this is how the enemy operates. The demon in the girl spoke the truth, but mockingly. Listen, somebody needs to hear this tonight, because you have a zeal for God and you're wondering why a lot of strange things are happening, coming from and around and through, quote, some of the people of God that you're encountered with. Listen, these days, people in the church flock to the church And they're there mostly to be entertained. They'd rather see a preacher than to hear a sermon or a message. We've got to understand that people are attracted to charisma or the gifts. But the Bible says, in all thy getting, get understanding. So the reason I'm saying this, and I don't know why or who needs this, but please understand that it's always going to be your responsibility to develop your faith, because you can't depend on a church service. You can't depend on somebody hooping or whatever the case may be. The church service is nice, and it's for us. It's intended to edify us, but it can never replace your desiring the word. It can never replace your searching the scriptures. It can never replace your applying the word of God to your own life. And we've got to understand and be very careful. We wonder why people talk about church. Well, guess what? The physical church is intended to be a hospital for the soul. And when you look at the church, the physical church now I'm talking about, and you look at a hospital, guess what? There's a lot of imperfect and sick people there. In a hospital, you got a lot of germs. You can go in the hospital, be treated for one thing, and while you're there, pick up another. It's the same thing with the physical church. That's why it's up to us, and each and every one of us, to do as the Bible says and to make our election and calling sure before God. Because this is why we talk about faith, and we talk about faith especially as it applies to us in these days, in these modern times. We're living again in what Jesus called in the 24th chapter of Matthew, the beginning of sorrows. So the saint of God, due to his or her faith, really need not to be surprised about anything. The Bible says that there is a spirit of divination. And again, according to this Bible, these footnotes, the Bible says literally it's a spirit of a python. Because, again, and this is what you see a lot of in the church today, you see all these people with all these gifts, and they're literally ministering to people's flesh. They're catering to people's emotions. They're literally putting on a show. But where is the power? Where is the deliverance? See, the devil takes parts of the truth, or takes the truth and spins it into his own version of a lie. Again, and I always refer to this. So many years ago, I was watching a movie, the Academy Award winning movie. The central mysterious character in the movie was a character called Kaiser Sose. And in the Latin term, it literally translated into the devil. Everybody was scared of Kaiser Sose. And at the end of the movie, the scene began to unfold where he had manipulated everything. He had deceived this man who was a detective investigating the case. And he said a line to that man. He was sitting in the man's face, and he said a line. He said one line to him. He said the greatest trick that the devil ever did was to convince the world that he doesn't exist. Now, as far as the world itself is concerned, that's pretty much the mindset. They don't believe, he's already got them, but they don't believe he exists. They don't believe he's real. They don't believe that his whole game is deception. That man said that line, and he got up and he walked out of there, and they kept flashing scenes back and forth. He got out around the corner to a car because he was a cripple in the movie. When he got to the car, all of a sudden you see his gait, his walk straightened up, and he's walking normal and everything else, and he's flashing back to the detective. And the detective is slowly realizing he's looking around his own office, even at his desk and on the walls, and he's sitting there, he's rethinking the story that this guy had just told him. And he realized the man sat there in front of him and made the whole story up just looking at things in his office. And, of course, by the time he got outside to try and catch the guy, he was gone. Well, listen, again, this is how the spirit of divination works. The spirit of divination will have you convinced that this person is saved and they're so anointed and this, that, and the other. And we got to remember, because God is sovereign, God will use whoever and whatever he will. But a lot of it is, again, it's the word of God being spoken in different things, and this, that, and the other. But you still have to look at the heart of the person. And God, only God can give you a discernment of that. Only God can give you discernment by way of the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost. People misquote the scripture all the time. They say, try the Spirit by the Spirit. That's not what the word of God says at all. The word of God actually says, try the spirits, whether they be of God. Because only the Spirit of God is going to testify that Jesus is the Son of God. There's many spirits in the world, but there's only one true Spirit of the true and living God. There's only one Holy Ghost. And in order for you to have discernment, you got to be operating and walking in it. And the only way that's going to happen is because of your faith. Amen. Now, we're going to move on. I want to start another series real quick. And I've got about 15 minutes. We're going to go ahead and go through this. But listen, we're still talking about faith. Amen. And there is a story in the book of 2 Kings, the 4th chapter. Just want to take a look at it real quick. We're going to introduce it to you tonight. But listen, when we talk about faith, the world and different people would have you to believe that if you're talking in real faith terms, that you're either crazy or lying. But, beloved, the Bible is very clear on how to apply your faith, especially when it comes to your words. The Bible tells us to speak those things that be not as though they were. In other words, if you desire a certain outcome, you've got to see it in your spirit and speak it out of your mouth before you even get it. And when you're walking, operating in true faith, it's not lying, and no, you're not crazy. You're going to look crazy to a lot of people. You're going to sound crazy to a lot of people. But as in the case of Elisha and the Shunammite woman, see, a lot of times we convince ourselves that in order to receive anything from God, we've got to depend on the word directly from a certain individual or a man and woman of God. But as you'll see in this text, sometimes God wants to reveal things directly to you, and he won't even show it to the preacher until he's revealed it to you. But it's up to you to discern it and walk in it and receive it. Because God, believe it or not, God has appointed the man and woman of God of your life, and he's given them a divine appointment, But again, there are things that that God won't even show them concerning you because he wants you to get it first. And it's quite lengthy scripture, so I'm only going to hit certain ones. But in the Bible, in the book of 2 Kings, the 4th chapter, I'll just paraphrase until I get down to what I want to read. But starting in verse 1, it says, now it happened one day that Elisha went to Shunem, where there was a notable or a great woman, and she persuaded him to eat some food. So it was, as often as he passed by, he would turn in there to eat some food. And she said to her husband, look now, I know that this is a holy man of God who passes by us regularly. Please let us make a small upper room on the wall, and let us put a bed for him there, and a table and a chair and a lampstand. So it will be whenever he comes to us, he can turn in there. Now, first things right there, this woman of God, she wasn't a poor woman. She wasn't just anybody. The Bible says that she was a great woman, a notable woman, which means she had wealth. She had influence. But how many know that, first of all, God is no respecter of persons? Even in the church today, we see a lot of respecter of persons, a lot of favoritism, even a lot of nepotism going on. But real faith does not entertain any of that. Whether you've got $100 in the bank, a dollar in the bank, or $1 million, faith in God is simply faith in God, and God honors it all. But the Bible says that this woman was noble. She was a great woman. Now, there was a time so many years ago that the people of God actually honored and revered the man of God. You know, myself and Apostle Ellis, we come up during a time where it was nothing for people to do exactly what this young lady did. You know, they would feed and take care of and see to the needs of the man of God. They would provide rooms and hospitality for the man of God, because they knew by entreating the man of God or the woman of God in love and with godly standards, that God would bless them, because the man of God carried a word or a blessing in his mouth for them. You don't see a lot of it anymore, but that's the way it was. That was the way, especially in the African-American community, we lived our lives. Now, I would go down south, you know, and back then, the man of God would travel. You know, it was like Paul and his missionary journeys, but he would travel to the different houses of the saints and the members. He would check on the people, and they would bless him. They would feed him. They might put a little money in his hand. They would even give him a place to stay. So in this particular text, she convinced her husband to build a room for the man of God, because she wanted him, every time he was in that area, to come through. She wanted him to come there and stay, because she had that much faith in God, and she wanted God to bless her in the household. God had already blessed her, because the Bible says that she was notable, she was great. So she was already blessed, but it was because of her faith in God that she wanted to be a blessing to the man of God, so that she would continue to be blessed. Now, it goes on down to say, verse 11 says, and it happened one day that he came there and turned into the upper room and lay down there. Then he said to Gehazi, his servant, call this Shunammite woman. In other words, he wanted his servant to bring the lady to him, to call him to her. So when he had called her, she stood before him. Now, again, her faith, right? First of all, we say that we have faith, but the hardest thing for us to do is submit to the woman of God, because we're not looking at the office and the oracle of God. We're always looking at the person. The person's got faults, just like you, me, Apostle Ellis. We all have faults and shortcomings like everybody else. But you learn to respect the calling of God on the man's life. You learn to respect the oracle. It ain't about the title. It's about the work. It's about the ministry. The messenger is never important. The message is. So, verse 13 says, and he said to him, say now to her, look, you have been concerned for us with all this care. What can I do for you? Again, God loves to bless us, even naturally, because, first of all, he tells us it's okay, it's good to be a blessing to the man of God, because the man of God blesses us spiritually by way of God. Now, so he asked her, what could he do for her? And, well, let me just read it for you, because I want you to hear. We haven't plain talking the word, amen? It says, call a Shunammite woman. When he had called her, she stood before him. Verse 13 says, and he said to him, say now to her, look, you have been concerned for us with all this care. What can I do for you? Do you want me to speak on your behalf to the king or the commander of the army? She answered, I dwell among my own people. In other words, she kept the Hebrew, the Israelite life, and the laws, the word of God, and the laws of God. She kept those. She didn't intermingle with the captives and the people that were over her. So that didn't necessarily apply. So then he said, what then is to be done for you, for her? And Gehazi answered, and sometimes we get a zeal and we want to speak for other people. In this case, it happened to be true again. But Gehazi answered, actually, she has no son, and her husband is old. Verse 15, so he said, call her. When he had called her, she stood in the doorway. Now, this is what the man of God did for her. Verse 16, he says, about this time next year, you shall embrace a son. And she said, no, my Lord, man of God, do not lie to your manservant. Now, her faith right there is saying that, I don't need the man of God or anybody else to play with my emotions. That was something that she would desire, but she was too humble to ask for it herself. So he told her that she was going to have a child that time next year. Now, he said, about this time next year, you shall embrace a son. Verse 17 says, but the woman conceived and bore a son when the appointed time had come, of which Elisha had told her. Yes, that's a miracle. That's another miracle. Now, her faith is what's going to rise to the occasion a few more verses on down the line. God is always allowing us to be tested for our faith. Again, we can't afford to sit in the same spot. We've got to grow, okay? And the one thing that helps us to grow is adversity. Because there are things and people that we love so much, God still has to test us to figure out whether or not we believe him and we love him more than the person or the thing that we care so much for. So verse 18 says, and the child grew. Now it happened one day that he went out to his father, to the creepers, and he said to his father, my head, my head. So the father said to his servant, carry him to his mother. Verse 20, when he had taken him and brought him to his mother, he sat on her knees till noon and then died. Wow. The man of God had promised her a child. She received the child, this gift from God. And after he had grown up for so long, he got sick one day and he died. Her only child, this gift from God that she hadn't even expected to receive, but God blessed her because of her faithfulness and her kindness to the man of God. And she went up and laid him on the bed of the man of God, shut the door upon him, and went out. Now listen, she could have lost her mind. She could have fallen apart. She could have got mad at God. She could have got upset. Many times we get lied to or lied on, and we get mad at God, and we decide we're just going to give up and walk away from God, and we're just going to lose it and go off on people, this, that, and the other. But the Bible says that she laid the child on the bed of the man of God and shut the door and left out. Now, this is where it gets very interesting. That this is where, as the saying used to go, the rubber meets the road. When your faith is being tested and you need to put it to the test, if you got it, your actions, your words, your attitude, everything is going to show it. Excuse me. All right, I got to cut this off. But to make a long story short, the Bible says that she asked her husband to give her a donkey so that she could go to the man of God and come back. She got the donkey. She went on ahead. And when she got to the man of God, her husband questioned why she was going, because it wasn't time, it wasn't Sabbath, it wasn't time to sacrifice, different things like that. So she got on a donkey, and she told the dude who was driving to drive and go forward. Do not slacken the pace unless I tell you. That's verse 24. She went. She went to the man of God at Mount Carmel. Now, when the man of God saw her coming from a distance off, he said to his servant, look, there's a Shunammite woman. Run to meet her and say to her, is it well with you? Is it well with your husband? Is it well with the child? Now, this is where her faith kicked in the super gear at. This is verse 26. And she answered, and I want you to remember these three words, it is well. That's not a lie. That's not craziness. That's pure faith speaking. She said, it is well. I wish I had some more time tonight. I'm not going to hold you hostage. But she said, it is well. Now, when the man of God came at the hill, it says that, verse 27, she caught him by the feet, but Gehazi came near to push her away. Now, again, remember I said that God will block something from the man of God so that he reveals it to you first. Verse 27. Now, when she came to the man of God at the hill, she caught him by the feet, but Gehazi came near to push her away. But the man of God said, let her alone, for her soul is in deep distress, and the Lord has hidden it from me and has not told me. Too often we carry around burdens, we carry around weight, and instead of looking to God and even the man of God, we internalize things until it causes us to do things that we know we ought not to do. But the Bible says that this woman's soul, the man of God recognized that her soul was in such distress, but God hadn't revealed it to him. There was a purpose behind that. So when she came to the man of God at the hill, I'm sorry, let me move on now. Verse 28 says, so she said, did I ask a son of my Lord? No. Did I not say, do not deceive me? Again, it's rhetorical, but it's no. Then he said to Gehazi, get yourself ready and take my staff in your hand and be on your way. In other words, he decided to send the man of God ahead on to try and raise the child from the dead. Because at this point, he realizes now that God is doing something, but he realized God did not reveal it to him first. So to make a long story short, I got to wrap this up. He sent his servant ahead. And it told him what to do. The servant went and did it. It didn't do any good. The whole time, the woman of God got so much faith in the man of God, God working through the man of God, she told him then that she wasn't going to leave him. She said, if God liveth, I'm not going to leave you. She wasn't going nowhere without the man of God. So when the servant came back and said it didn't work, the man of God got on up and went himself. And she would not let him out of her sight. They went on back. The Bible says the man of God laid himself prostrate on the child, and he breathed on him. And it says that the child's flesh became warm. He got up, he walked around, obviously praying. He laid back down on the child, did it again. And the child sneezed 7 times and came to life. And he gave the child, or he called her and told her to come and get her son. Now, the reason I say this is because if you really want to hold on to your faith and develop your faith, I don't care what it looks like, what it feels like, determine in your heart because God is faithful. Determine in your spirit because God can do nothing except fail. I'm sorry, God can do everything but except fail. Determine in your spirit that no matter what's going on around you, you're going to trust God for the outcome that you need. I don't care what it is. You ain't got no money in the bank. Trust God. It is well. You got sickness in your body. I go through that every single day. But I trust God. Anybody ask me how I'm doing? Oh, yes, I'm doing well. It is well. Just remember that phrase. Place it in your mouth through your faith and see what God does for you. Your kids acting crazy. It is well. The Bible says that as long as you can believe, you shall have. Jesus said, as long as you can believe, you shall have whatsoever you saith. This Shunammite woman, she never wavered from that one three-word phrase, it is well. It is well. And when it was all said and done, she had her son back alive. So I'm going to end with that. We're going to move on and talk about a little bit more next week. But I just want to encourage somebody tonight that as long as you have the faith, it is well. Always remember that God's word works if you work it. It's fail-proof. It's not just a fable. Amen. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for these hearts, these minds tonight. Bless, keep, and protect, Lord, until we come back to the appointed place at the appointed time. Jesus, amen. God bless you all. This is Elder Kerry Williams coming live out of the back of the house.